Good morning. It's good to see you back, and I hope you all had a nice yontif, you know, that everything went as planned. Even though, of course, things never go as planned, but thank God, it's good to see you all. And, alright, let's begin the shiur. I think the last time I said this shiur in a different context was in 1991. And there was a specific reason, and for that and other reasons, and going back again to what I said then, and it just so happened that here I was up at Kinar, and I was supposed to say one of the things that I did, just the last 3 days we were at Kinar, I was supposed to say the Drosha, Shabbos, Yom Tov in the morning, and I had a whole Drosha prepared, and then, I don't know, I opened up one of my Sforim, and out fell a set of notes, and the notes were this year, and I switched Droshas in mid-Shabbos. And I got up and I said something that I had not prepared, but don't worry, it went over well. On the first page, there are two pages here. On the first page, I have part of a chapter in Yechezkel. On the second side, I have its translation into English. Now, I'm only interested in really one pasuk in this chapter, but I just want to give you a brief context. So we're going to learn a few pasukim, and then we're going to focus, we're going to zero in on the pasuk that is significant, and I believe that the pasuk as I see it now, and I've studied this pasuk often, I think this pasuk is the history of the last 60 to 65 years of Jewish history is summed up in that pasuk. 60 years, which really represents Jewish history from Shoah to Atzmaut, from Yom HaShoah to Yom HaAtzmaut, all come together in one pasuk in such, I was going to say brilliant, but you can't say that about the words of a Navi. These are divine words. And it's awesome when you begin to think about what it is that Yechezkel said here. This is from Yechezkel, chapter 38. So just let's read Vayidvar Hashem Elai, the mother word of God came to me, Ben Adam, Sim Panecha, El Gog Eretz HaMagog. Look, direct your face towards Gog of the land of Magog, the prince, Rosh Meshech the Tuval, who is the leader of Meshech and Tuval, and prophesy about them so saying, Va'amarta, tell Gog from the land of Magog. Now prophetically, the final battle of the nations of the world against Israel, in the words of the prophets, is called the battle of Gog Umagog. For Gog Umagog really means Gog, who is the king of Magog. And that's going to be the great last battle where the nations of the world are going to attempt to destroy the Jewish people, and in turn what will happen is that they're going to be destroyed. V'amarta, and you should say, Kach Amar Hashem Elokim, so says God, Hinini Elecha Gog, Nesiros Meshech V'Tuval, I am against you. God says, I am against you. You've got formidable opposition to you. You understand? You may outnumber the Jewish people a billion to one. The only thing is, they have one entity on their side, and that's God. I will lead you astray, and I will place hooks in your cheeks and bring you out with your entire army, horses and riders, all of them clothed in splendor. a vast assembly with buckler and shield, all of them wielding swords. God is going to send Gog against the Jewish people. He's going to entice them to come out. I'm going to take you. Sino umagin, shields, all of them holding swords. Who's going to be there? Paras is going to be there. You know who Paras is? Iran. It seems Iran is going to lead the pack. And who's going to be there with them? Kush, Ufut Itam, Kulam, all of them. Magen Vakova, shield and helmet. Gomer, another place, Vichol Agapera, and all of her hosts. They Togarma, Yavkate Tzotan, those coming from the north, that call Agapav, and all of his hosts. Amin Rabim Itah, many nations are going to be with you. And you're going to begin the great campaign. He can prepare yourself for Hachem Lecha, Ata V'chol Kohalecha, Hanikam Alecha, V'hagita Lehem L'mishmar. All of them who are gathered, all of them who are gathered, prepare and make you ready for yourself, you and all your hordes, that you are mustered about, and be a guardian to them. You're going to take them. Now we come to the pasuk that I want to focus on. And you have to know this pasuk, and if you can learn this pasuk by heart. 38:8 Miyomim rabim tipakeh. After many days, tipakeh here means you're going to be punished. The day of judgment is going to come after all the tzaras that you made for the people of Israel, after all of your evil, you will be punished. And you know what's going to happen? This is going to happen. Ba'acharit Hashanim, at the end of days, Tavo El Eretz, you're going to come to a land. Now I'm going to read the pasuk in its entirety, and then we're going to take each phrase in the pasuk. Oh, what a pasuk. You're going to come to a land, Mishovevet Mecherev, that has been returned from the sword, Mikubetzet Me'amim Rabin, gathered in from many nations, Al Horei Yisrael, it's all going to take place, they are, this is talking about the Jewish people who've been gathered in, and they are Al Horei Yisrael upon the mountains of Israel, Asher Hoyu L'Chorba Tamid, that for so long had been absolutely desolate. The implication, of course, is they're not desolate now anymore. V'hi me'amim hutzo'a, and she was taken out from the nations. We'll have to see what that means. V'yashula betach kulam, and they are all going to live in security. That's the pasuk. We can get back to it. Just going to take a few more psukim. For olita kasho'a tavo, you're going to come up against them, kasho'a tavo. The real meaning of the word shoa is darkness. You're going to want to bring darkness. Ke'onon, like a cloud, lechasot ha'aretz, to cover the earth, tihye, you will be. Ato v'chol agapecha, you and all of your cohorts, all of those who come with you, the amim rabim otach, and many nations with you. Kor Hashem Elokim, so says God, v'hoya b'yomahu, on that day, yalu dvorim alavavecha, things will occur to your heart. You're going to plan. You're going to plan to conquer the Jewish people. Lay them waste. You're going to have evil thoughts, and you're going to say to yourself, "Ele." Well, you know what? Maybe "Vomarta" is not that you're going to say to yourself. You're going to announce to the whole world, "Ele, I'm going to go to a land that is people are living in open cities." Avo hashoktim yosh Tishrei Lavetach, I'm going to come against people who are tranquil and quiet, living in security. Kulam Yoshvim Vein Choma, they're all living without walls around their cities. Ubriach Udulatayim Ein Lehem. Briach and Udulatayim are, you know, the big gates, and the Briach is that, what do you call that? Remember when the Indians are coming and they close Fort Apache? Huh? Yeah, no. You close the gates as a few Indian arrows come flying through, and then you put a 2x4. That's the Bechiach. The 2x4 that you put in for those metal holders, and that's supposed to keep the door closed. It's not the real word, but I think with all the motions I made with my hands and the Indian description, you know what I'm talking about. Lishlol shalol v'lo v'oz, you're coming to take spoil and to steal. Lashiv yadchol charavot no shavot, to stretch out your hand upon desolate places that are now settled. People are living. People hadn't been living there for hundreds of years or more, and now they are no shavot. Ve'el am mu'usof me'goyim, you're coming against the people that have been gathered in from the nations. Osem mikne v'kinyana, what are they doing? They're taking care of their cattle, they're doing a shtickle business. Yoshveil tabur haaretz, those who dwell upon the navel of the earth. Eretz Yisrael is called Tabur Haaretz because it is the epicenter of the world. The Gemara says the world came into being from Har HaMoriah. God made Har HaMoriah and he added the rest of the world to it. And who's going to come with you? Shvo and Dedan and Sochei Tarshish V'chol Kfireh Yom Delecha HaLishlol Shalol Ataba. You want to steal, you want to rob, to walk off with silver and gold, shalal gadol. That's what you want to do. We're going to join you. We're going to rob them blind. We're going to walk off with everything that those people have in that land. So God says, you son of man, that's Yecheskel, say the following prophecy. V'amar to Gog, you should say to Gog. Ko amar Hashem Elokim. So says God. Halo v'yomahu, in that day. V'sheves ami Yisrael levetach, my people Israel is sitting securely. Teda, you should know. You're going to come from your place, Miyakus Eitzofen, for the very end of the north. Atovam Imrab Mitoch, you and many nations with you. Rochvei Susim Kulam, all riding horses. Kahol Gadol Vechel Nav, a great assembly and a mighty army. You're going to come. Valita, and now God is going one step further. He says, Valita, you're going to come Al Ami Yisrael. Not simply Yisrael you're coming against, you're coming against my people Israel, my people Israel. Ke'onon l'chasot ha'aretz, you're coming like a cloud to cover the earth. V'acharit ha'yomim tiyed, this is going to be at the end of days. You know what I'm going to do? Boy, we're going to suck you in. I'm going to bring you, v'havyotich al artzi, I'm going to bring you against my land. You know, everything changes, you know. It's not just Stama land anymore. It's not just the land of the people of Israel. Gog, it's my land. L'mandat ha'goyim oti, so that all nations will know me, b'kodshi b'chol le'neam Gog. I'm going to become sanctified in the eyes of all the nations of the world through you, Gog. Because when you're going to be crushed, a whole world will know that this was the great act of God. Kamar Hashem Elokim, Ha'atohu Asher Dibarti,
B'yomim kadonim, you're the one that I spoke about in the earlier days. B'yad avot I'm the Yisrael through my servants, the prophets of Israel. Hanibim b'yomim ahem shanim. For many years they said this prophecy. L'havi ochal ahem. They've all said that you're going to come against the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. The Navi is going to go on to say, what a matola. What a matola Gog is going to have upon the heights of Israel. Okay? That's all we need for background. We're looking at this now. Underline. The pasuk I said we're going to talk about, Miyomim Rabim Tipakeid. After many days you are going to be punished. Va'acharet Hashanim, at the end of years. Tovo El Eretz. Now, I'm going to take you through this pasuk now, step by step. There are four descriptions of who this enemy Gog, led by Persia, Iran. Who is this nation against whom they are going to wage war? About whom do they have these terrible thoughts? Whom do they want to rob and empty? Whose cities do they want to destroy? There are four descriptions in the pasuk. Description number one is Tavo, you're going to come, El Eretz, Mishovevet Mecherev. You're going to come against a land, Mishovevet Mecherev. Mishovevet Mecherev means those who have returned from the sword. Returned from the sword. Targum Yonatan Ben Uziel makes it even a little clearer. Those who have returned from being killed by the sword. Who are we talking about? Who's the Navi talking about? Maybe for about 2,500 years we couldn't figure out the pasuk, but obviously he's talking about the Sheidus HaPleita that are returning to Eretz Yisrael from the Shoah. Mishovevet, they are returned. They've been snatched from the sword. They're the remnants. The first great wave of people coming to Eretz Yisrael are the ones, Mishovevet Mecherev. Take a look into the Rashi. It's underlined. Here's the Rashi. Miyomim Rabim Tipakeh. Miyomim Rabim Shechotosali. After many days that you sinned against me, Tipakeh Ato. Lifonai Lizkor Avonatecha. You are going to be remembered now. I'm going to remember all of your sins throughout history. Ulahashiv Gimucha, I'm going to repay you. So you know what I'm going to do? You know I'm going to repay you? Rashi already lets us know what he's talking about. So up until we only know a land. Rashi says, I'm going to bring you against Eretz Yisrael. El Eretz Yisrael ha-meshuvebet mecherev. That is returned from the sword. Rashi enunciates it so clearly. Sheshavu yoshvehu min agola. The inhabitants of the land are people who've returned from the exile. Ashegolu shom al yedei cherev ha'oyev. Rashi has one pshat, and Targum Yonatan ben Uziel has another pshat. Rashi says, returned from the sword, those who had been exiled and thrown out of Eretz Yisrael by the sword, have now returned. Targum Yonatan says, those who are being killed by the sword have been snatched from the sword and brought back. That means, if you take Rashi and Targum Yonatan, Ben Uziel, then you know what you have? You have all of the Jews who are in Eretz Yisrael at the establishment of the state. For 100 years, Jews had been coming back from Europe. They were the ones who were coming back after having been exiled by the Romans by the sword. And who are the ones who are coming back right now? The ones who had been spared from the sword. The ones upon whom the sword was held out. So here we have a perfect description of what Eretz Yisrael looks like, who's there in Eretz Yisrael in 1948 at the establishment of the state. But wait a minute. What happens after the state is established?
Yeah.
By the way, it was fascinating to read this week just the articles in the paper, the about Yossi Had-El, the one who was the commander of the Exodus. And so there you had most probably one of the most dramatic periods in the history of any nation of the world. Those 3 years from 1945 until 48, the illegal immigration to Eretz Yisrael was one of the greatest chapters in world history. And they say there were 60 boats, and the 60 boats, 60 unseaworthy boats, who brought 100,000 people to Eretz Yisrael, and they ran the British blockade. You understand? People may not remember anymore, but His Majesty's Navy was the greatest navy in the world, and the most ignominious chapter in their history was the destroyers and the cruisers that are spread out across the Mediterranean. To find a boat that has 4,500 Eisgeweckt, Eisgedarte, Eisgemitschete Jeden who want to get home. This was the great heroism of the British Navy. You know what? Despite the greatness of the British Navy, 100,000 people made it through the blockade. It's Oyo Manova. Anybody who thinks that this is not Hashgacha Pratis of the highest order has to have his head examined. And it was one of the greatest chapters. You know, when I begin to hear people, what did we need to stay for? We could have the British. And then, you know what? We have something over a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we have over a lot of other people? What for most of our, for all of our children and grandchildren, is history, was for us current events. I would imagine most of us, I'm not looking, there may be some young people who snuck in over here that don't remember the establishment of the State of Israel, or the vote in the United Nations, or for that matter, the Exodus. I'm most probably the youngest one here, but I was so precocious, I was old enough that I remembered some of these things were so dramatic that even when one is young, you know about it. I always say that the earliest memory that I have, this is just an aside, the earliest memory that I have, I don't know, there are people who remember who their kindergarten teacher was. I don't know, I didn't go to kindergarten, so I didn't have a kindergarten teacher. But the first event that I can remember in my life was a cold day in December, and it was a Sunday. I was learning the Yeshiva Torah V'Das. I'll tell you, I was in grade one. The only thing I remember from grade one, it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 to 3 in the afternoon, the principal comes walking in and seems extremely, extremely agitated, and he speaks to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe looks even more agitated, and as soon as the principal walks out, the Rebbe says to us all, Kinderlach, get dressed. And we start putting on our little butzalach and our heavy coats and get the gloves on. We don't know what's happening. And then the Rebbe leads us out of the building, and as we're being led out of the building, we see all the staircases. Everybody's out into the street, and the Rebbe walked with us until the closest corner, which was Lee Avenue and Wilson Street. Others went to Division Avenue, and when we got to the corner, he said, Kinderlach, Leufahein, Kinderlach, run home. And I remember coming into the house, and there in the house, my father and mother, Aleh and Mashalom, are sitting in front of a radio, You may remember what those were, big wooden pieces of furniture that looked like the Luchos HaBris, you understand? And I see they're worried, and for the first time in my life I hear the words Pearl Harbor. It was Sunday, December 7th, 1941. The Japanese sneak attack on Pearl Harbor, and the radio was saying that they are concerned that there may be attack on the mainland of the United States. How many children in the United States of America were in school on that Sunday? Torah Vadas, and maybe two or three other yeshivas. That's it. But I remember that. I'll never forget that day. It's my earliest memory because it made such an impression. Such an impression. We lived through events that have made powerful impressions upon us. I mean, how did I really become aware of the Shoah? Of course, during the Second World War, I don't want you to get the impression that I was a big hero, but everybody was doing this. We went around the streets and we collected tin cans to make bullets. We collected newspapers to make parachutes. Every Sunday morning, we came to school with 15 cents. And you bought a savings stamp that you put into a card until it became $18.75, and you got a bond. And every time you made a savings bond, it is given out simcha gedela. I mean, in that sense, we were aware of what was going on. We were aware. How could I not be aware? One of the people in shul, in Tarvidas, who sat near my father, a Tayyagi, lost his only son on the beaches of Normandy. Who didn't know about D-Day? VE Day, you understand, and VJ Day. I sacrificed like all other kids. We sat on our porches, we tore up all of our comic books, and threw it out on the street. The streets of America were full with the paper. I mean, these things made it. I was aware of the Shoah when I come to Davin in the morning toward the end of the war, and then 45, 46, number of people. You saw the numbers, the concentration camp numbers on their arms. You saw everything. Who didn't know the Exodus and the others? Those, we knew all about it. We knew all about it. So therefore. I remember also the day of Hakamas HaMedina. It was Friday. It was a Friday. I remember coming into shul for mincha. For months there had been such concern. There was so much fighting going on. Eretz Yisrael was had become a battleground. It was terrible what was happening in Eretz Yisrael. I remember we came in. You know, it must have been then, it was the heyday of Torah Vadas. There must have been 400 or 500 people in shul. And somebody came running in, I think right during or right after Mincha, and he gave a yell out, Truman recognized the state of Israel. Shomu Shamayim. Every time I think of that moment, I become so choked up. You took a look and you saw 500 giants standing in shul. So when any of these punky guys starts telling me, you know, Medinish Medina, it's because they don't have a clue what the matzav of Klal Yisrael was. If you don't know history and you don't take it into your kishkes, you don't have a clue. So we were in a sense were there. No great history. So here we have the first description. Tavo, you're going to come against the land Meshovevet Mecharev. And as I say between Rashi and Targum Yonatan, you know, we have the sum total of Jews who were in Eretz Yisrael at the establishment of the state. Those who came back over the years from the exile by the sword, and those who had been saved from the sword and returned to Eretz Yisrael. What happened historically after the establishment of the state of Israel? What was the next great wave of Aliyah. What was the next wave? Arab lands. The Jews of Arab lands began to empty out. They came from Taman, they came from Iraq, they came from Morocco, North Africa. The next description in the Pasuk is Mikubetzet Me'amim Rabim, gathered in from many nations. This is the second wave. We're talking now about another million people who come into Eretz Yisrael. Not only do the descriptions fit precisely the communities that came, but they're in historic order in this passage. This Yechezkel, he was speaking the word of God. This is one of those psukim. One of those psukim that if anybody starts telling me, you know, he needs proof of the existence of God, proof that Torah is true, or wants to go off, you know, figuring out Torah codes. Codes, shmoes, proof, shmoof. Who needs it? Just read the words of the Navi and understand them. Where are these groups of people? The Meshovevet Mecherev, the Mekubetzet, those who are gathered in Me'amim Rabim. Al-Hore Yisrael, they're now settled upon the mountains of Israel. Asher hoyu l'chor v'tomid, that had always been desolate. Asher hoyu l'chor v'tomid means they were always desolate, but they're not desolate anymore. Of course, I don't have to tell you that the moment that I see the words Hore Yisrael in Yechezkel, that of course takes us back three chapters earlier, where he says that great pasuk, Atem Hore Yisrael, you mountains of Israel, Antechem Titenu, Uferichem Tisu, Lam Yisrael, Titir Kervulavo. You know that pasuk in your sleep already. Give out your branches, carry your fruits for my people Israel. By the way, it comes at this point in the pasuk, because historically, the state of Israel began with rationing. There wasn't that much food. What is it somebody once told my wife? We didn't have much to eat when we came. We ate tzionut. We ate tzionut. Huh? The hayam maspik, he told you. Achalnu tzionut v'hayam maspik. I mean, I came at the Teretzisov the first time at the end of the period of rationing that was called the Tzena. The Tzena. I came when there was still Tzena. There was still Tzena. I've told you already a few times. I think we got two eggs a week and about the 2 or 3 ounces of meat. 2 or 3 ounces of some kind of ground thing that they called meat. I tell you what I learned in Panovich when I learned there in 55. That we used to have a few times a week we had meatballs. Now wait, how do you get so many meatballs for a whole yeshiva, you understand, with just 2-3 ounces per person? So he said that they said, they taught me yeshiva, that's the pshat and benching. Baruch Atah, yeah. Who notain lechem l'chol basar? They put in challah and they put in everything else. You put lechem l'chol basar and you have meatballs to go around for the whole yeshiva. I told you then also, the only vegetable they really had, there was one vegetable. This is 1955. Only tomatoes. Tomatoes. You know, after I came back from about a year and a half, 2 years, and I think it was about 20 years that I couldn't look at a tomato. But thank God I'm back. I'm back. I love tomatoes. I can't do without tomatoes. Yes?
My father was a son, came from London in
1949. Yeah?
And he was on the diet of apples. Because
they
had very high blood pressure.
So what was his diet?
Apples.
apples?
Apple
they weren't pretty, they weren't.
And he wasn't set up with any roast.
There were no apples in Eretz Yisrael.
No apples.
I remember, you have a living witness. I remember eating one of the first apples that came on the market in 56. This is an apple. It was a very poor excuse for an apple. But take a look at 50 years later. What, it took less than 50 years later. So now we have, who do we have? We have Tavo el Eretz Meshovevet Mecherev Mikubetet Me'am Enavim Al Hore Yisrael Asher Hoyu L'Chorbat Hamid. The next description in the Pasuk. That's a very important word over there. The next is the one that simply blew me away. V'hi Me'amim Hutza'a. She was taken out of the nations. What does this mean? You're going to have to prepare yourself. Just you have your seatbelts on. Yeah? Look in the Malbim on the right hand side. I'll show you. See where my finger is. V'hi me'amim hutza'a. V'hi me'amim hutza'a. When I saw this Malbim, I was ready to faint. How brilliant was the man. It was Ruach HaKodesh. And we're going to see a few more words from him, but this one. V'hi me'amim hutza'a. She'hinichu otam latzeit lidyashev ba'aretz. They were given permission to leave and settle in Eretz Yisrael. Do you know when I first learned, when I first taught this pasuk? I said 1991, 2 weeks before the Gulf War. They said Saddam Hussein, Zalahubin Afaya Dika Gehenim, said that he's going to destroy Tel Aviv. I mean, there was great fear in this country. There was great fear. What are you talking about? And then wait a minute. And when the first, you know, people have to be careful. Remember the Friday night before the war. It was supposed to start on January 15th. So you know, in Yidel, we know everything. So friend of mine. Anyway, he tells me, don't worry about it. It's all phony. There's not going to be any. Nothing is going to happen. Oh, and then I think it was Sunday night or Monday night. The sirens went off. They did this country go into a state of fear. But what I'm saying now, I said then. Do you know what was going on before, during, and after the Gulf War? The Jews of Russia, Russian Jews were arriving daily, plane loads. That's what the Malbim is saying. You're coming up against a nation that now, Me'amim Hutza'a, and the Malbim says, they've now been given permission to leave and settle in Eretz Yisrael. Who is the Navi talking about? He's talking about Soviet Jewry. There's no question about it. So do you see the three groups? One made up of two. The first is Mishovevet Mecharev, those who've returned from the sword of Rome, those who've returned from the sword of Hitler, Mikubetzet Me'am and Rabin, those who've come together from all of the Arab countries, and now, you know what's happening right now? There are people who've been given permission to leave and come to settle in Eretz Yisrael. The Yashua Vetach Kulam. They will all live in security. I think I took a bit of a chance when I said, nothing's going to happen. I'm taking another chance right now. Why am I taking a chance? Not because I'm the prophet or the son of a prophet, but take a look at the awesome, awesome words of Rashi. First of all, we learned the first Rashi, Miyam Rabin Tipakeh, on the right hand side, Asher Hoyu Lechorva Tamid. And now Rashi going on to the left hand side, Ze Shonim Rabos. Been many years that the land was desolate, V'samuch Leboacho Aleim Chazru. They returned only a bit of time before you came, and those lands are no longer desolate. Vehimei amim hutzah. This Rashi is a Rashi of such power, of such strength. V'hoya l'chol asum aleiv. You should have paid attention to the fact Shehimei amim hutzah. All those Jews in Eretz Yisrael have been taken out from amongst the nations of the world, and they be brought to Eretz Yisrael. V'hamotziyo min ha'amim, and the one who takes them out from the nations, lo yatzvenu biyadecha. He's not going to leave them in your hands. Shaita that you are, the Mahari Kara is going to say. Fools that you are. You think God brought Jews from all over the world so that they should fall into the hands of your scuds or your nuclear device? Hoya l'chol v'sum aleif! God doesn't play ugly, cruel games with the Jewish people. Hoya l'chol v'sum aleif! Next to the Rashi is the Mahari Kara. Turn over to the back left side. The Mahadi Kara is not easy to read over there. So first of all, I give you a brief biography of the Mahadi Kara. A French Bible commentator, 1060 to 1130, not to be confused with Rabbi Yosef Karo. This is Kara. Rabbi Yosef Karo was the 15th century author of the Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Yosef was the student of his illustrious uncle, Rabbi Menachem Chelbo, whom he often cites in his commentary. A resident of Troyes, he frequented Rashi's house. Can you imagine? What a schluss that was, you know, you were able to walk over and drop in on Rashi's house. And of course, the amazing thing is that Rashi was able to learn without Rashi. You know? But we can learn. We can. Now, he made the acquaintance of Rashi's grandson, Rashbam. Rav Yosef wrote a commentary on Torah based upon Rashi's commentary. He wrote a commentary based on Rashi's commentary, which he enlarged and expanded. He also added glosses to Rashi's commentary, which Rashi later incorporated in his own manuscript. So the Mahari Kara expands on Rashi. Let's take a look at the expansion over here. And I take a look right at number 3. Vihime amim hutza'ah. And she was taken out from the nations. V'toz gadol b'yada. What a big mistake he's making. What a big mistake he's making. Shehu savor l'achariva. He thinks he's going to destroy Eretz Yisrael. What a mistake. Shem hoyo pikeach. If he would be a klige mensch, if he would be smart, he should have thought and said to himself, Shaitani, I'm a fool, Shani Savur Lacharivan, that I think I'm going to be able to destroy them, Shakolish Baruch Hotziyam Ibein Ha'umos, Sheshibdu Behem, God took them out from amongst the nations who enslaved them, V'osamem Shvatim Uvelehem, and God punished them and their deities. One of the nations cannot stand before God. And then he goes through Paro and Haman. They were driven from the world. He did all of these miracles so that they should be able to settle down in Eretz Yisrael in peace. He's talking, this is what Ahmadinejad Yimach Shemoy V'Zechraya. should be thinking, Ani Sofer, I think that I'm going to be able to destroy them. I'm going to be able to undo God's plans. God wrought awesome miracles in order to bring all of these Jews back to Eretz Yisrael. The return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael over the last 100 years, and most specifically in the last 60 years, is an absolute act of divine providence. So what do you think? The Russian brought them all together over here so you're going to have an easier target. You got them all together. Get yourself your nuclear bomb. Shaykh the Shabbat, I love that you are. How can you even think that? Bitmiya. You should be wondering about this. This is what Ahmadinejad should be thinking and Saddam Hussein. I should be sure that he's going to do to me what he did to all the other Sonei Yisrael, what he did to Paro, and what he did to Amon. He should have decided to withdraw his hand and not to attack the Jewish people. But he doesn't think that way. You know what he says? I'm going to go up against them with my army. Shehomim kashoah, who make the sounds of a shoah. The EU mechasinatoris, we're going to cover the land, we're going to overrun the land. That's what the enemy thinks. Ulefecha, you know what's going to happen? Because of that, after the cholag afecha, you and all of your cohorts, amin chabin, asheritcha, lecherev, umavdecha. Just like the earlier ones were destroyed, you and all of yours are going to be destroyed. So what the Mahari Kara really is doing over here is he is elaborating on Rashi. By the way, in many places he does this, but of course Rashi knew how to say short, brief, but absolutely powerful sentences. That Rashi, I keep going over it. You should have paid attention. You should have thought about it. They've all been taken out from amongst the nations of the world and brought here. God who took them out from amongst the nations. He's not going to leave the Jewish people in your hands. Which brings us to the second half of this year, and whatever I can't finish today, you know, we have Ein Churban Shlishi. Ein a Yesod of Hashkafa in Yahdus. There will not be a third Churban. First, I want to begin with telling you the famous story, even if you heard it. I always get goose pimples when I think of it and when I say it, and that will be the introduction to this. Of course, I have a personal interest in this. It's a famous story of Rabbi Yitzchok Isaac Halevi Herzog Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who was the second chief rabbi. He did a lot of great things. Amongst them, of course, was the fact that he gave me smicha in 1956. I deserved it. I worked hard. I got smicha from it. I think I once told you, but before you got smicha from Rav Herzog, you had to get a bechina test in Yoredeya by a member of his bed din. So he told me that I should go see this member of his bet din. He lives in Meir Sharm. His name is Yosef Sholem Eliashiv. Go to him. Okay, I did. I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story. That will say for a moment, you know, I'm poor in some time. I did well. Okay? Anyway, Sir Rav Herzog in 1942 was on behalf of the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael. He was in the United States, and then the Battle of North Africa was taking place. and Rommel's forces had broken through the British British lines, and the major thrust towards Alexandria, Egypt, and then Eretz Yisrael. The plan was, and Rav Dessler writes about it, that Hitler's plan was that he was going to attack, catch Eretz Yisrael in a pincer movement. His forces that invaded Russia, Operation Barbarossa, nobody has a clue why he did something as stupid as that when, the Russian winters had destroyed the mighty armies, and he already had England nearly at its on its knees already. So he didn't have anything left but blood, sweat, toil, and tears. So he invades Russia, and he's coming along North Africa, Desert Fox, Rommel. The plan was that the forces will go through Russia, come down Iran. The forces of Rommel will come through North Africa, and they're going to meet up by Eretz Yisrael and crush Eretz Yisrael in the middle. And here's Rav Herzog, he's in the United States, it's 1942, Rommel's forces break through, the British fall back to El Alamein, which is not far from Alexandria, and it looks like Eretz Yisrael is going to fall to Hitler. The British were convinced that that's exactly what was going to happen, because the British already gave instructions to all of their forces, both in Egypt and in Eretz Yisrael, to fall back into Mesopotamia across the Euphrates. Not only that, there were 1,500 private vehicles that belonged to Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and they prohibited the sale of petrol, because they needed and wanted all the petrol for themselves, which would really mean there would be no means of escape for the Jewish people, and they're leaving, they're running, they're just going to leave the Yishuv over here to be crushed, God forbid, by Hitler. When Rav Herzog in New York hears that Rommel has broken through, he says he must return. He must return to Eretz Yisrael. The leaders of the American Jewish community told him, Rabbi, you can't go. You can't go. It's wartime. And then already U-boats were sinking, shipping in the Atlantic. You can't go. He insisted. He insisted. He insisted. So finally they got him onto a tanker. The morning he's supposed to board, he gets a message that his berth has been cancelled. He was extremely, extremely upset. 3 days later, the headlines in the paper, that boat had gone down in the Atlantic with all on board. And he continued to insist that he wants to go. Finally, they got him onto a boat making its way around the Cape of Good Hope. South Africa? South Africa? Yes. And the story of his journey from South Africa to Cairo, and then the train tour from Cairo to Eretz Yisrael, it's like something out of a 1001 Nights or Around the World in 80 Days, by horse, by camel, by car, by train, by... But they asked him, you can't go back now. Eretz Yisrael is going to fall to the Germans. So he said, we have a Kabbalah, there is a Masorah by Klal Yisrael, and it's borne out by the prophets. There will be a first Korban, there will be a second Korban. There will never be a third Korban. This is what a man is saying while Hitler is marching through Russia and Rommel is marching along North Africa. But isn't it fascinating? Hitler is in the process of conquering a little place called Stalingrad, you understand? And Rommel is preparing his forces for an assault on El Alamein. The first defeat of Hitler was at El Alamein. The second was at Stalingrad. They, what a churban they made to him at Stalingrad. From that moment on, the moment that he was getting close to Eretz Yisrael, began the battle against Hitler, which ultimately ended with his defeat. It could have taken place a few years earlier, but all right, that was all the time. So Rav Herzog enunciated this idea that a third Korban there will not be. By the way, he only said it with regard to Eretz Yisrael. It's not so clear that there is a guarantee or a promise to any other Jewish community in the world. I wish them all well, but there is no such guarantee. The guarantee was only with regard to Eretz Yisrael. And you know where it's expressed? It's expressed by Yechezkel in this pasuk. God brought Jews back to Eretz Yisrael not to leave them in the hands of their enemies. We have over here six Mamorei Chazal that established this same idea, the idea that there will not be a third Churban. Not be a third Churban. I'll read the first one quickly and with that we'll close. Masoret HaGodah Hi Shein Yerushalayim Nivneit Ashi Yitkan Tzvar Golias. We have a Masorah, an HaGodah that says Yerushalayim is not going to be built until all of the exiles return. V'Yom Alecha Odam, if a person is going to tell you Shekvar Nitzkan Tzvar Goliot, the exiles have already gathered in Polonia, Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim hasn't been rebuilt. Al Tamin, don't believe him. You know, it's not a matter of, is it rebuilt or isn't it rebuilt? I would imagine that the conversation is going like this. What are you talking about? Yerushalayim, you call this rebuilt, you understand? There's a tray for McDonald's. There were four stores open selling chametz on Pesach. Alright, there are no cars in Har Nof or in Kiryat Moshe, but there are some cars in Rehovia. This you call rebuild? Alright. But the Rebbein Shem has a different definition of rebuild. An Eretz Yisrael that 100 years ago had 1860 something, it had 52,000 Jews. By the way, in 1860 it was 52,000 Jews and 18,000 Arabs. They were never a majority in this city ever. So somebody's going to tell you, it hasn't been rebuilt, don't believe him. Lama, why? Shekach katuz. So it says, Bonei Yerushalayim, God builds Yerushalayim. V'acharkach nitche Yisrael, Yechanes, he gathers in the exiles. Amri Yisrael, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yebeni Shalelem. Lo kvar nivneis Yerushalayim v'chareva. Hasn't Yerushalayim already been built and destroyed once? So how do we know it's going to be any better now? We're going to rebuild it again, and it'll be destroyed again. Amalahem. Because of your sins it became destroyed and you were exiled. I build her, and I will never destroy her again. God has built Zion and his honor and glory is seen in that city. There will not be a third Churban. Doesn't mean we may not have tzavos. Doesn't mean we may not have tzavos. But there will not be a churban. I wait impatiently to see what's going to happen with Ahmadinejad. The Yimach Shemay that I said before goes on every time I mention his name. So I don't have to repeat it again, you know. All right. Anyway, so I would say that this is our introduction to both Yom HaShoah and Yom HaTzvaot, the return of Jews, Min HaChedev. That's where it all begins. That's where it all begins. Okay. One more.